Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. It may help to find this piece of paper entitled, Taming Temptations the Jesus Way. Anybody here dealing with temptation? Yeah, I think I see that hand. It was Jeff Foxworthy who said, I can resist anything but temptation. I think we're all in that category. There was a little boy in a rural area, and he was at the grocery store. It was a small grocery store, and he was over parked by the candy area, and there was this big box filled with Reese's peanut butter cups, his favorite. And he was just looking at that box of Reese's peanut butter cups, and he was staring at it. And the owner of the store, the manager, walked by, and he looked at that little boy. He said, are you going to steal any of my candy? He said, no, sir. I'm sitting here trying not to. I think we're all in that boat. We're all engaged in this tug of war between what we ought to do and what God wants us to do and what we feel like doing, what the world is calling us to. It's the struggle, the temptation, the tug of war of temptation. When I was 7 years old, I can relate to that little boy in the grocery store trying not to steal. It was a temptation that I encountered unsuccessfully, actually. In Georgetown, Texas, we only had one grocery store. It was Piggly Wiggly there in the center of our town. And my mom would always go to Piggly Wiggly. I loved to go with her because when I was a little boy, when I was in third grade, I weighed 117 pounds. So I was a really large kid. And I loved to eat, and I loved the cool grocery store. And I walked in there one day, and I had discovered Juicy Fruit gum. And, oh, I just thought it was the best gum in the whole world. And so I asked my mother, I appealed to her, I said, Mom, could I get some Juicy Fruit gum? And she quickly said, request denied. It was an unappealable. So she walked off to the next aisle to pick up some more things, and I decided to take matters into my own pudgy hands. I looked this way, nobody coming. Looked that way, nobody coming. And I just slipped that Juicy Fruit down into my little pocket. We got outside. I was thinking about my newly acquired treasure. When I got in the car, I got in the back seat, and I snuggled up against the back, and I slipped my hand down in the pocket, and I surreptitiously opened a little of that gum. And when I thought Mama wasn't looking, I put it in my mouth, and oh, it was an explosion of juicy flavor all over my mouth. And I guess I got to chomping gum, and she looked back, and she said, J-Boy, are you chewing gum? I was busted. She pulled over. And she said, I can't believe you stole that gum. We're going straight back to the store, and you're going to confess and pay for it. Oh, you see, there's a scripture that says in Proverbs 20, verse 17, the bread of deceit is sweet. And that juicy fruit gum was so sweet at first. But then the verse goes on to say, but it will become gravel in your mouth. And it was gravel in my mouth as I had to own up to my misdeed, pay for it, and then go home and meet my dad, who applied the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. I learned about stealing on that day. Well, I gave in to temptation, and I'll bet I'm just like you. Every person in here has had a battle with temptation. I've won a lot of those battles, but I've lost some of those battles. So let me ask you this question. Would you fill in the blank? What pulls you away from God? Anything that pulls you away from God is a temptation. The word in the Greek language is parazine. Parazine, that's what pulls you away from God. The word parazine is also linked to the word parasite. A parasite is something that sucks strength out of you. So what is there in your life that's like a parasite, a little vampire sucking nutrients from you, pulling you away from the things of God. Maybe it's attitudinal. Maybe it's an attitude of arrogance, anger, bitterness, competition, comparison, an attitude of jealousy, an attitude of laziness or entitlement. Maybe it's some sort of activity, maybe a self-defeating activity that's pulling you away from the things of God, the temptation of alcohol, drugs, gambling, pornography, where you demean other people. Could it be you're being seduced by too much of something? Seduced by too much work, too much play, too much internet, too much social media, too much sleeping, too much weeping. What is it that pulls you away from God? What is the parazine that's functioning like a spiritual parasite, sucking away your spiritual energy and vitality and keeping you from being that victorious champion that God has designed you to be? Why don't you identify that for this message to have meaning? Because this moment could be a game changer. These next few moments could be liberating and life-giving as you discover the Jesus way to tame your temptations. Well, let's come now to Luke chapter 4, but let me set the scene. Jesus' ministry is in its infancy. It's been launched by his baptism there in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Jesus was baptized. I want you to see him coming up out of the water, and there is water dripping from his face, from his beard. He is drenched to the bone, and the dove of God comes down upon him, flutters down, and then you hear the booming voice of his Father's blessing saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus is baptized, and he doesn't start his preaching tour. He doesn't go and immediately heal anyone, but instead, he is taken, and the scripture says, driven into the wilderness to have an encounter with his ultimate adversary and to be tempted. Let's pick up in chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. For 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, a man shall not live by bread alone." He led him up and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, it shall be yours." Jesus answered and said to him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And he led him to Jerusalem, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple. He said to him, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not force a test on the Lord your God." And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Let's pray. Dear Father, we very intentionally come into your holy presence. We ask that you help us come to full spiritual alert because there is so much on the line. We all are engaged in this tug of war of temptation, pulled between the things of the world and what you want us to do and become. Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way so that your Spirit could sweep through this place and deposit your transforming truth into every receptive heart. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's understand the dynamic process of temptation. Let's begin with number one, temptation's source. Temptation's source. And frankly, we see here vividly on display that the source of temptation is the devil himself. The devil is real. He is an active force of personal, malignant evil. The Bible calls him your enemy. He is referred to hundreds of times. Yet when we take public polls, while over 90% of people believe in a real and a personal God, less than 60% think that the devil is real. That's an unpleasant thought, that there could be a personal force of malignant evil who is present in this world and like a spiritual cancer is trying to hurt you. But I would suggest that you are naive unless you understand the devil is real. I mean, think about it. We live in a world of opposites. Can you have hot without cold? Is there up without down? There's no in unless you have out. You can't have up without down, and you can't have God without a counterforce of evil. That's Satan himself. It's called a logical syllogism. Now, we meet the devil, if you look on your worksheet, in Genesis chapter 3. This is the original temptation episode. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat any tree in the garden?" Now, what is the devil saying? Of course, the whole story is it's all about the tree of life. It's all about eating that apple. You see, here's Satan's strategy. Here's his tactic. It hasn't changed since the beginning of time. Satan is saying, distrust God's word and disobey him. Satan is basically saying to Eve, he said, "Darling, God is trying to cheat you. You see, if you really follow God's way, you're going to get the short end of the stick. But you should follow me. I'll take you far. Eve, I'll make you a star. Follow me." So that's why Satan is always trying to denigrate the Word of God. And he's trying to have you elevate your reason over his revelation. That's the core issue. Will you trust God's word? Will you obey his way? And that's what Satan attacks. Now, temptation source indeed is the devil, and here's the way the devil operates. I mean, the devil even came to Jesus and tried to get Jesus to compromise. He tried to get Jesus, the Redeemer of humanity, to basically become a partner with Satan himself. He was going to give Jesus a kingdom, but there would be no cross. You don't do it God's way, you do it the devil's way. So here is Jesus being attacked by Satan, and that tells me if Satan attacks Jesus to derail the plan of redemption, then Satan's going to come after me. Satan is going to come after you. And what's his purpose? Again, look on your worksheet. Jesus unmasked the plan of Satan. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus says in Matthew 4, verse 19, he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." I like that analogy. We fish for people. We catch them for Christ. But did you know that Satan also is a fisher for people? He tries to allure them. That's what he did before Jesus. He dangled some bait in front of Jesus to seduce him, to entice him, to derail his purpose. And that's how Satan works. He's worked that way in my life. Let me create an analogy for fishing. I love to go fishing. As a matter of fact, I was fishing some time ago, and in a couple of hours, we caught a really large stringer of fish. I have caught literally hundreds and hundreds of fish. And fishing, as you know, is based on deception. And the way it works is simple. You take a hook, and you bait it with some bait that would be enticing to a fish. My favorite is a plastic lizard. And you hide that hook down deep into the body of the lizard, and then you dangle it in front of him because, you see, bass love lizards. It's not only their natural enemy, because the lizard will eat their eggs in the springtime. It's a source of food. And when that bass goes over by a tree on the side of the lake, and that lizard's over there trying to get something to eat and accidentally falls in, ooh, there's lunch. And so when you put a lizard out there by the edge of that tree, are you let it go over an area that's a change in elevation and it pops up? The bass is a predator. He will see it. He will grab it. He'll bite down on it. He thinks it's a real lizard. It's a piece of plastic. And boom, you set the hook and eat him for breakfast. That's how it works. And that's how Satan works. He entices you. He allures you. He says, this is going to be so good. But you don't know there's a hook embedded in it. And he's going to catch you. You see, that's what the devil does. He is here to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he will appeal like he did to Jesus when you're vulnerable to your appetites. I mean, Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days, so where did Satan start? Well, why don't you take this stone and make some bread? Why don't you use your superpowers for selfishness? And Jesus said no, because God has not designed man to live by bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He resisted the temptation. So I want you to understand that Satan is the source of your temptation. But let me give you one other analogy on your worksheet. 1 Peter 5:8 says, here's the key, be self-controlled. In other words, be alert. Know that Satan is coming after you. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a little kitty cat? Like a furry rabbit? No, like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. Now, I've been to Africa quite a few times. One of the highlights of my life was to go on a mission expedition with Tim Kearley. And we were over in Mozambique, and he took us to Zimbabwe. And he had a friend who runs a game park called Emire. Emire is Shona for friendship. And so this guy gave us the royal treatment because we were with Tim Kearley, the guy who directs our caring center. And we pull up and he says, I'm going to take you to the lion cage. And it was a 2-acre enclosure. And we pull up to this lion's enclosure. And the guy has a half of a zebra that he's going to feed to these four lions. Now, when we pulled up, I had an experience I've never had in my whole life. I heard a lion roar, and I'm not talking about MGM movie lion roar before you start the flick. I'm talking about a real lion in the bush emit a roar. Did you know that a real lion can roar at 114 decibels? That is 25 times louder than a gas lawnmower, and it can be heard 5 miles away. So we pull up, and when that lion sees this man pull out half of the zebra to feed it, it roared. I mean, every hair on the back of my neck saluted, I'm telling you. Whoa! And why does a lion roar? To inspire fear in its prey. To paralyze it. You see, we live in a world filled with evil, and Satan is like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. And I'm on his list, and you're on his list, so you better be alert, because forewarned is forearmed. That's the bottom line. Be controlled. Be alert. Know the devil's schemes and that he's after you. So be prepared. Let's go to number two. Let's move from temptation's source to temptation's solution. Here's temptation's solution. Let me take you through it. You see, it helps to know that no one is exempt from temptation. No one. Look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. If you've got a pulse, you've been tempted. You see, this is every person's lot. It was Martin Luther who classically observed, no one can prevent the birds of lust from flying over your head, but you can refuse to let them make a nest in your hair. That's how it is. We live in this tempting world. There are a lot of distractions. There are a lot of parasites that would try to attach to you and hurt you and pull you away from the things of God. That's why it is imperative that you realize the temptation will come your way. Probably one of the most famous temptations in the Bible came to David. You remember David, this man after God's own heart. It's recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Oh, it was quite a moment. And the Bible says that not only is temptation common unto man, but God will give you a way out. He'll give you a back door. But you've got to find the exit. So here is David. It's a spring day. It's evening. He's just eating a nice meal. He goes up on the top of the roof. He's surveying his kingdom in Jerusalem. And he happens to notice just in the distance, there's a woman bathing. And he looks in closer and he sees that she's a beautiful woman. Maybe he's met her in the past. Maybe not. Now, here's what he should have done. He should have looked for the way out. You see, God is going to provide it, but you've got to do your part. And instead of turning his back on that temptation and going downstairs back to his home, his family, David took a second look, and that's when Satan set the hook. That's how it works, friends. He got his attention. He allured him in. He called for Bathsheba, and they engaged in an adulterous relationship that produced a baby. And not only was a baby produced, but then lies came. A murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, died for their mistake. The baby died. Absalom rebelled, tried to kill his father and take over the kingdom. There was an avalanche of hurt and heartache, problem and pain, because David, this man after God's own heart, this man who knew better, he took the second look. He didn't find the way of escape. So please mark it down. Here's temptation's solution. It's common, but you've got to do your part. Now let me show you three specific ways to do your part. Number one, your defense. Your defense. If you want to tame temptation the Jesus way, your defense is the Word of God. That's why it says in Psalm 119, hide God's Word in your heart so that you may not sin against God. Ephesians 6 tells us that we have armor, and the Word of God is like the sword of the Spirit, and we can do battle with it. I mean, that's what Jesus did. When Jesus was confronted by Satan, and Satan suggested, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Jesus responded with a scripture from Deuteronomy 8. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So on three occasions, Satan tempted Jesus, and his response was so simple. Jesus unsheathed the sword of the Word of God, and he shredded the enemy with the Word. Now, you know what I've discovered? I have the same capacity. You see, if you want to be protected, make your bodyguards Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are great bodyguards. They will protect you morally and spiritually from the temptation that we all deal with. So the Word of God is your first level of defense. I would even say make the Bible your textbook. And if you'll get a good handle on your textbook, if you'll learn God's Word so you can live God's Word, it will make all the difference. But here's where you go to the next level when you memorize God's Word. Again, Psalm 119, how does a young person keep his way pure? By keeping it according to the Word of God. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. That's what we've been doing this week in Bible school. I mean, that's why I teach sixth grade Bible school, because as these kids move into the teenage years, we try to pour God's Word into their heart with the theme, learn it to live it. This is my class. We had one of the best classes ever. We enrolled 90 young people. And this is their picture. And do you know what they did? We challenged them to memorize chunks of God's Word. And if you memorized God's Word, I paid them money. Is that a good deal? I mean, good choices should have good consequences. And so they really tapped me. We have never had this many kids memorize the scriptures, but I was so proud of them, because what they did is they were hiding God's Word in their heart so that when they confront the temptations of life, what are they going to do? Are they going to shrink back, or will they step forward with the offensive weapon of the Word of God? And when they're tempted to compromise morally and spiritually, they know the great truth of God's Word. the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I have been bought with a price. It is no longer mine, but instead, I am the temple of the living God. My friend, when you understand who you are and how God has called you into His family, and that you have resources to combat the evil, then it can make all the difference in the way you live your life. You're no longer a victim. You're that victor in Christ. So that's your defense. Let's go now to your deletions. From defense to deletions. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul simply said, "Flee evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart." You see, to be successful in dealing with temptations, you've got to delete people, places, pursuits that will pull you away from the Lord. For instance, it says in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he will meditate upon it day and night. And then he'll be like a tree planted beside a consistent stream of water." You see, that's what God wants you to understand, that if you want to be much for him, you've got to subtract anything that will pull you away. It says here in Psalm 1 that if you want God to bless, you better remove the people that are going to mess and make you a mess. I would suggest to you that you need to subtract anything or anyone that will pull you away from God. I heard a story about a young lady, and she was dating a guy, and he was handsome, he was wealthy. She was going to church, she invited him to church, and he kind of mocked her. He made fun of her in a gentle way. They dated for a while, and finally she added it up like this. She said, "Bill, if you don't want to go to heaven with me, I'm not going to go to hell with you." That's it. You see, you've got to sometimes just painfully delete people who are going to hurt you or pull you away from the things of God. That's what happened to Joseph. Do you remember Joseph was sold into slavery? And here he was there in Miss Potiphar's house. And Mr. Potiphar had gone away on a business trip. And Miss Potiphar, she was the original desperate housewife of Egypt. And that's what I think she was. And she got the hots for this hunk, this Hebrew hunk, probably a combination platter of looking like Kenny Holmes and Ed Cleveland. I mean, just hot as could be. And so she was trying to seduce him, and he resisted. And so one day she couldn't take it anymore, and she grabbed his coat, and he just ran. Now, I know it's not very macho to run away from a woman, but he did what Paul said to Timothy, flee. He ran. So he ran away, and he left, the Bible says, his coat. Now, that tells me something. Sometimes to get out of harm's way and avoid temptation, you got to leave some things. Maybe some of you need to leave or give up the group of guys that you play ball with. Because after you play ball, you can't resist the temptation to go party with them and compromise. Maybe some of you need to give up working late at the office, because the office flirt has their eye on you, and they're working late too, to see if they can get you to compromise and leave God's pathway to purity. Maybe some of you need to give up those cable TV premium channels, because there's pipe and trash and pollution into your heart and spirit, and it's hurting you. And it demeans the people that are those actors. So maybe there's some things you need to leave behind and give up if they're pulling you away from your Heavenly Father and His high destiny and purpose for your life. There are some deletions, but lastly, make one more note, we're finished. Your discipline. You see, your discipline is the other tool. Your defense is the Word of God. Your deletions, remove any people, place, our pursuit that is pulling you away from God. And here's your discipline. Here is your part. It says in James 4, verse 7, it's this simple. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have to have a daily discipline that says, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm all in for you. I will not be distracted. I will serve you, my Savior, not my selfishness, not sin, not Satan. I'm going to be disciplined. Now, that's the missing ingredient for a lot of people. And maybe some of you need to hear what I'm about to say. Some of you need to replace your wishbone with a backbone. I mean, if you're just wishing you're going to be okay and wishing temptation's not going to come your way, maybe you need to get a backbone of discipline that says, I'm going to stand for the Lord. That's what the Scripture calls us to do. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, I discipline, look on your worksheet, I discipline my body and make it my servant so that after I have preached to others, I will not be disqualified. The year was 1979, a man by the name of J.D. Gray preached at New Orleans Seminary, and it was the single most impactful sermon I have ever heard. J.D. Gray was pastor at the First Baptist Church of New Orleans, Louisiana for 35 years, and he stood before the seminary congregation, and he said, gentlemen, you carry the name of our Savior Jesus, and don't you bring shame to his holy name. There are a lot of distractions here in the city of New Orleans, he went on to say. There are a lot of things that would pull you away from the cause of Christ and your holy calling and destiny. Don't give in to these temptations. Discipline your body. Stand firm. Now, the key to disciplining your body, my friend, is when you discipline your mind. Look at the last scripture. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Do you know what that means? Take every thought captive. There are a lot of thoughts that will flow through your mind. It's a little bit like the air traffic control tower at Danley Field. There are a lot of airplanes in Alabama's airspace, but the only airplanes that get to land are the ones who get permission from the control tower. So you've got to be in control of your mind. And frankly, if what is trying to land is ugly and will pull you away from the things of God and will dishonor the Lordship of Christ in your life, refuse it. Not only do you refuse it, you replace it with what it says in Philippians 4, verse 8. You see, here's the filter for what can land. Whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise, think on these things. So fill your heart and mind with the things of God, and the Lord will protect you as you have a disciplined body and mind submitted to the Lordship of Christ. Well, God's directions and your selections, it really boils down to this. Today, you should make a declaration that you are going to use God's tools to tame temptation and to step into the glorious victory that the Lord Jesus offers to you. Let's pray. Oh, Father.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.